Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live. I'm looking at this board. I'm on Blog Talk Radio platform. It looks so much better. They've done something recently. I really like this. I am loving this. Uh-oh. Just dropped some crayons. It happens. Let's see. Oh, I spelled glutamate wrong. My bad. I just want to see if this will work, if I can pause it in the middle of it. Let's try this song. This is a completely random song. Okay, well, maybe the board doesn't work as well. Okay, I'm going to try to pause it and see if it'll let me pick up at the same point. No, it doesn't. Darn it. Let's try calling out now because that wasn't working. Yucking! Oh, my gosh, I'm so happy. I can call a guest now. Okay, I'm going to rethink quitting BTR. BTR, I love you now. I love you. Let me go ahead and tweet this out. We're having a vaccine conversation, and I welcome you to the conversation. Let's see. Like that. And, okay, got that there. 646-716-7259. I'm so excited. See, I was going to quit Blog Talk Radio when my time ran out next month. And now I don't think I'll be doing that. I think I'll be staying with you guys. I'm very pleased. I'm so pleased. I mean, you should see my board. It looks so much better. It's easier to see. I'm jaw-dropped. BTR, you outdid yourself. I mean, they don't usually upgrade, but they really did a good job here. I am so excited. Finally. Finally. I've been feeling so good. This is great. I'm waiting for my chat room to. Why don't we just open up a new window? Okay, there we go. Let's get rid of some of this other stuff. Twitter. What do you think of the constellation Orion? I'm just curious. And I'm on the wrong Twitter. I have a few different Twitters. Oh, man, that's bad. It's really bad. I'm going to have to work on this a little bit later. Can't believe this is a new Twitter that I have. It's a political one, so you're not going to get to know what it is. But you can always contact me on @VaxTruthNews, which is the one I'm about ready to sign in on. Decided to do a podcast. I didn't think I was going to have the time, but I do. So I'm very pleased to say that at this point. Let me go ahead and tweet on this one. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Let's see. Live show now. Call in 646-716-7259. I wonder if the sound is better now. Can you guys tell me if it is? Does it sound better than what you're used to? join the vaccine conversation. Pro or anti-vaccine educated. Call in. Tell your truth. Let's see. I hate this part. Live. We'll just say live now. Now I'll get rid of some of the... Let's see. Call in. Okay, I can tweet that now. Alrighty. Let's see what's going on in Twitterland. I have 8 notifications since I checked last. I used to have so many notifications. This is a lot easier to manage because it was hard to say thank you for retweeting when there were so many. Of course, I got demonized by some anti-vacciners, and shame on them, especially the one that was abusing their children. Let's see. Well, I wonder who did that. Oh, I like Dr. Sherry, I do. That's a true. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I can't believe someone said that. Oh my gosh. That was kind of nuts. When I was doing a show the other night, people were tweeting different videos of why this child died or why they didn't die or on both sides. And I think we need to, in order to be fair, do a fair representation of both sides. I can't just cater to one side. And I know that upsets some people, but deal with it. I mean, really, deal with it. That chat room still is not loading up. Maybe they just have a few glitches. I can go to this other screen. I'm feeling really rather good. Okay, so we need to talk about vaccines at this moment. I'm happy to say the vaccine exemption bill that was meant to kill the intellectual and religious vaccine exemptions in the state of Oklahoma has died in committee. And I'm seeing that other states are following suit, like they'll file the bill to make them feel good is basically what it is. And it doesn't go through because it limits your freedoms, your medical freedoms. Feeling pretty good right now. Pretty good. I wonder if I click this way, if this will work. Maybe. Trying to get my chat room to work. So, I could talk about the insider and how the tobacco whistleblower is very much like our CDC whistleblower in the terms of the challenges that he faces, not personality, but the challenges that he faces, like tortious interference. And yeah, I really recommend that you watch the movie called The Insider. It was made some time ago. Russell Crowe, I believe, played YGAM, the tobacco whistleblower. We need to make the desert green again. Green with truth and life and vitality. But the truth can be stripped away, and all that you see is arid and stony and without moisture in the air. How can you breathe? That's the way I look at it. Going to play a quick song, since I can get back over there, because I got a lot to do tonight still. I have a letter to write, and, you know, life is good. Pueblo. Don't you ever think of other societies, other communities, and how they handled their health freedoms? Do you ever think of that? I'm just curious, truly just curious. I think I'm going the route of the Hear This Well videos. I have a few of them up here. I want to play where the nurse speaks out. If you go on YouTube and you do Hear This Well under HTW or Hear This Well, and they talk about problems with vaccine reactions. You know, I think this is good to listen to. She is a nurse. Let's hear what she has to say on the issue of vaccines. I'm curious, aren't you?
Hi. Hear me well. My name is Julie Stearns. I'm an RN. I've been in the field of nursing for approximately 30 years. What I'm here today to talk about is I've seen great damage that's been perpetrated on our young people and people in general with the flu vaccine and the Gardasil vaccine. I'm here to tell you these vaccines are causing harm, regardless of what others are saying. I'm going to start by showing you something. November 5th was my birthday. Last year, my daughter told me, Mom, I'm pregnant. I was going to be a grandma for the first time. I was very excited to think that I was going to be a grandma. In fact, here's this, see it says my first grandbaby? And you can't see much there. But at the bottom, it does say it had a healthy heart rate of 152 beats per minute. We were both so excited. She works for an area hospital. I won't mention names because she hasn't given me permission to do that, and I don't want to put her job in danger. But they actually told her she had to take the flu vaccine or she was going to be fired. And this is what they're doing to a lot of the healthcare professionals. And they're telling them it's safe with pregnancies. So she took it, and then she told me later, Mom, I took the shot. I hope you won't be mad at me. Probably a couple weeks after that, she began to have heavy bleeding. I went with her to the hospital numerous occasions. She was breaking down crying. And then she lost her baby. Okay, now, it could have been other things, but I'm very, very certain in my heart that it was this flu shot. And as a nurse, I went and grabbed the flu vaccine tube that I was using at work and pulled out the insert and read it. And I highlighted it. I wish I had it with me to tell you guys. But when I looked at it, it said the safety and efficacy of this has not been established with pregnancies, nor do we know if it can impact fertility. Impact fertility. It could take away the female's right for having a baby. Could it destroy your fertility? Why would they put that in there? I think it was put in there deliberately. And in finishing, I'm speaking out for my grandbaby, who can't speak out for itself any longer. And my daughter, who is too devastated to do it, I'm speaking out for her as well. And others out there who have probably gone through the same thing, maybe not even aware that that's what caused it. I also want to make one point. Look up vaccine adverse events reports, VAER, because I found there was at least 4,168 fetal deaths documented with this flu vaccine in the first trimester. So this garbage that this is safe by doctors and nurses at the hospital or brainwashed, most of them, is garbage. And right now they're promoting this heavily. So don't believe it. Don't believe it. And for you pregnant women that are taking the flu shot, it has thimerosal, which is mercury. That's very toxic, and it will cross the blood-brain, or it'll cross the, excuse me, I'm getting all excited here. It will cross the placenta, and it will get to your baby. Don't let them fool you. So, those are the biggest things I want to talk about, and I want to ensure the safety of all these babies that are coming into this world that have a lot to offer, that were sent to us by God, and give them all a chance, and give all you new moms a chance to have healthy babies as well. And that's all I have to say on the flu vaccine. This is a challenge to every doctor, every nurse who has ever been turned against by the establishment and pushed out of their job and forced to sign a contract. You know, I know a lot of them were downsized and they decided to leave, but they were told if they talked that they would not be able to get an early pension, so they were threatened, okay? And I know doctors that have left this area that were good doctors that were pushed out by these corporations, okay? I'm challenging all of you, good nurses and doctors that really have a heart and compassion, to step forward like I have and speak the truth, make it known. You know, we need to help everybody, and we need to help in large numbers, and we need to stick together, okay? I'm so tired of our system and how the nurses and doctors are being treated, and the lies that we're short of nurses. Bull. We're short of nurses because they're being pushed out. You've got the experienced nurses being pushed out, and the reason, because they're catching things, and these corporations see us as a threat, okay? look up the Physician Hospital Organization. Read the fine print. In it, it says, the secrets contained within this organization are to be maintained by this organization. How can you uphold a Hippocratic oath, do no harm, yet have a secret? You can't. The secret is they're aligning with each other, they're covering for each other, and they're pushing out people. And they're lowering the lawsuits and their malpractice insurance. That's the secret, folks. You don't have anybody that's an advocate anymore. Wake up. Nurses, doctors, there's strength in numbers. That's the message I want to get out.
My son was born at 26 weeks, premature. On the second day of life, he was given the Hep B vaccination. Just shy of his second birthday, he was given almost 30 vaccinations. He was never sicker, always in and out of the ER, constipation, high fevers, uncontrollable crying. We couldn't talk to him. We couldn't console him. He was expressionless. He had so many issues. It was unbelievable for such a young child to have this many issues. And they want to blame the prematurity, I understand. But a Hep B shot on the second day of life, it's not one size fits all. It's a broken system. It doesn't work. And vaccines can and do cause autism. Vaccines can and do cause autism. Some people can't hear this too well.
This is in response to Elizabeth Cohen at CNN. My name is Freddie. I'm the father of a beautiful, beautiful three-year-old girl who was born happy and healthy and reached all her childhood milestones up until she was assaulted with 20 vaccinations by the time she turned 17 months old. 20 vaccinations by the time she turned 17 months old is when she descended into the world we know as autism. This is when the behaviors began, the loss of eye contact, the loss of language, the violent head banging, the spinning, the hand flapping. I can't forget the 6 to 7 months that followed after that. Every 2 to 3 hours, she would wake up in the middle of the night, screaming and agonizing pain, a scream that'll haunt my family for the rest of our lives. I'm not only here to tell you that vaccines can cause autism, but they do cause autism. My child is living proof, and we are eyewitnesses to it.
Hi, my name is Eric. I'm a single father raising a 15-year-old, severely autistic, nonverbal teenage daughter, all on my own. She was born normal. When she was 15 months old, she received a round of vaccines that included the MMR and the DTaP. She developed a high fever, held the fever for a week. When the fever broke, she lost everything. Her early speech, the desire to be touched, eye contact, everything. And we knew something was immediately wrong. It took a few months later before we got the diagnosis of autism. And I remember the month very well. It was January of 2000. What made it worse was within 3 weeks, Miranda, my daughter, shed the measles virus, and her mom caught it. We know this because we found the titers in her brain and spinal fluid. She had a massive flare-up. She must have been immune compromised to begin with, but it triggered MS. And now, years later, she's in a nursing home. So, vaccines destroyed my family. Vaccines do cause autism. Some people maybe don't hear this too well, but vaccines do cause autism.
And that was just a sampling of the hundreds of videos where they say, hear this well. You may have heard them reference Elizabeth Cohen, very mean-spirited journalist, that when we started saying, hear this well, she said, hear this well, vaccines do not cause autism. And there's no reason to be so mean and vindictive. So a number of these parents witnessed a vaccine reaction, a severe one. Now, this may not happen to the complete population, but it's asinine to believe that we are a one-vaccine-fits-all society. We are not. We are just not. So, what is it about the vaccines that we think are not safe? What is it that we think our children react to? Is this a possibility? Is it? Is it a possibility? I want you to think about that. Thimerosal is a vaccine preservative / filler that's used in a number of vaccines. The MMR does not have thimerosal, but it does have glutamate, and we'll get to that discussion shortly. But I want you to listen to how mercury triggered the age of autism. This is a video that can be used on many platforms. As at the end of the video, it talks about that. So, and this is for educational purposes, and I hope it serves to educate you about the history of thimerosal, or merthiolate, as its original name was. It was grandfathered into the, well, I'm going to stop talking and let them tell you the history of mercury and how it triggered the age of autism.
In 2013, the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the World Health Organization all concluded that despite concerns raised by parents and scientists for more than a decade, the kind of mercury used in vaccines has nothing to do with the explosive rise of autism over the past 20 years, even as the use of mercury more than tripled. So these officials decided to keep using it in shots given to tens of millions of children every year. But in fact, this exact kind of mercury is strongly linked to the very first cases of autism exactly 70 years ago. By ignoring that history, we fear public health officials are condemning millions more children to the same tragic fate of autism, including babies in the United States who regularly get mercury-containing flu shots. Here's what happened and why it matters. In the 1920s, this man, Morris Karash, an organic chemist at the University of Chicago, invented three commercial uses for ethyl mercury, a chemical compound that combines mercury and carbon atoms in a far more toxic way than old-fashioned thermometer-style mercury. Here are those three uses. One was as a seed disinfectant. Two was a lumber treatment. And the third, the vaccine preservative called merthiolate, or thimerosal, was first used in diphtheria shots. In all three cases, the idea was the same, to kill microbes that could ruin seeds, lumber, and multi-dose vaccines. All these products went on the market right around 1930. The first child diagnosed with autism was born in 1931. We discovered that her name was Vivian Murdoch and that she was born in Baltimore just as the first multi-dose packages of diphtheria vaccine preserved with mercury were being introduced in her hometown of Baltimore in 1931. 12 years later, in 1943, a psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore named Leo Connor wrote a report titled Autistic Disturbances of Affective Contact that began with these words. Since 1938, there have come to our attention a number of children whose condition differs so markedly and uniquely from anything reported so far that each case merits, and I hope, will eventually receive a detailed consideration of its fascinating peculiarities. Elsewhere, he called it a behavior pattern not known to me or anyone else theretofore. In other words, autism, as it quickly came to be known, was new and remarkable and hard to miss, and no one had ever seen it before. Now, in this report, Leo Connor identified the 11 children he studied, all of whom were born in the 1930s, with only a first name and last initial. But working together over the past 8 years, we have now been able to uncover the real identity of 8 of these children and their families. So let's look a little closer. Here's the father of case 2. His name, we learned, was Frederick Wellman, and he was a plant pathologist. Now look at what we found in his archive at North Carolina State. It's a pamphlet for Sarazan, the new ethylmercury seed treatment. In his own resume, the father described experimenting with this toxic dust at the same time his son was born in 1936. His wife had kidney trouble, which can be a sign of mercury poisoning, while she was pregnant. He could easily have carried it home on his clothes, in his hair, on his body. These kind of secondhand exposures are well documented in the medical literature. Now, what is a pamphlet for a new ethylmercury seed treatment doing in the files of the father of case 2, decades before anyone first thought to connect ethylmercury in vaccines and autism? You'll decide for yourself, but we believe this is the smoking gun that implicates ethylmercury as the trigger for the age of autism. And as you can see, this clue has nothing to do with being pro or anti-vaccine, nor does this. The father of the very next child, case 3, was a forestry professor. And remember, lumber treatment was another of those very first uses of ethylmercury. We've traced this father's career to the University of Idaho in the early 1930s, when the department was involved in a big multi-year study of the new wood preservatives, including lignosan. There were just a half a dozen faculty there at the time, all working in a confined lab space. Just like Frederick Wellman experimenting with Sarazan dust at the same time his son was born, the risk of bringing this toxic exposure into the home and family is obvious. There is simply no good reason that the fathers of case 2 and case 3 in the very first report of autism should be in the closely related fields of plant pathology and forestry in the 1930s. None that is, except for Morris Karash's new chemicals for seeds and for lumber that came on the market just then. Those two uses of ethylmercury were banned in the 1970s as far too dangerous for people and animals. But what about the third and most controversial form of ethylmercury, and the one still in widespread use as a vaccine preservative for babies, thimerosal? Well, we already showed you how the first child with autism was born just as the first mercury-containing vaccines were introduced in her hometown of Baltimore. Now look at case 7, whose father was a psychiatrist and whose mother was a pediatrician. We discovered that the mother spent her life in public health with a big focus on preventing childhood diseases through vaccination. Here she is speaking to the PTA in Annapolis, where she lived. Quote, she spoke on communicable diseases and outlined their prevention and control, a subject of vital interest to most parents. Too many parents, said Dr. Peabody, have the proper shots given and then relax, forgetting that booster shots are needed and that immunization does wear off. Speaking specifically of some of the most prevalent ailments, she stated that a child cannot be vaccinated against smallpox too often, and it should be done for the first time when a baby is between 3 months and 1 year of age. In the case of diphtheria, booster shots are extremely important. Close quote. Now, if anyone were the poster child for getting vaccinated early and often in the 1930s with the new mercury-containing diphtheria vaccination, wouldn't it be her son, autism's case 7? And exposed as she was to so many diseases, she no doubt was vaccinated herself. So all three of the first uses in the 1930s of this new and highly toxic chemical, ethylmercury in seed disinfectants, ethylmercury in lumber treatments, and ethylmercury in diphtheria vaccines are glaringly present in the families of the first 11 cases of autism born in the 1930s. We believe this triggered the rise of the age of autism, and it stands to reason that it helped trigger the recent explosion of autism starting around 1990, when the amount of mercury in vaccines, which had remained basically stable since the 1930s, suddenly more than tripled. There are many other connections to mercury in these first 11 children from the 1930s, and many other connections to mercury in disorders before and since, as we describe in our book, The Age of Autism. But what we've shown you here, we believe, is enough to say, enough. Stop ignoring the lessons of history and start ending the age of autism. Please share this video with family and friends and anyone in medicine, the media, and government who is in a position to do something. Ask them if they are okay with injecting ethyl mercury into tens of millions of children and pregnant women worldwide every single year. And whatever you do, don't let your child get a shot containing the ethyl mercury preservative thimerosal.
Well, it appears we have breaking news from California. A 3.5 earthquake strikes in California near Tehachapi. T-E-H-A. I'm waiting for the link to... It's near Bear Valley Springs in California, which is kind of near Bakersfield. I'm kind of surprised. I'm going to have to call my friend who's in Bakersfield. Wow. Occurred at 9:46 Pacific time, so it wasn't too long ago. In the last 10 days, there has been one earthquake of magnitude 3.0 or greater centered nearby. Now, I will say that in Oklahoma, we have all these earthquakes. You wouldn't think that Oklahoma would have earthquakes, correct? Welcome to fracking. Life is good here. Life is good. Oklahoma earthquake. Let's see if we had an earthquake today, shall we? We had some, really bad ones. Over a 4 point. When was that, 2 weeks ago? Waiting for this to come up. And that information I repeated earlier was from the LA Times. 7 earthquakes today. 35 earthquakes in the past 7 days. 173 earthquakes in the past month. We are active here in Oklahoma. Very active. Oh, wow. There's a 6.4 earthquake near Tacna, Peru, yesterday. There was a 4.0 earthquake in Enid. I wonder when that was. About 5 hours ago. That's pretty powerful. There was in Stillwater, we had a 2.7. That's not really a big deal. Again, in Enid and Stillwater are having 4.0 magnitude earthquakes. So how does California rate national attention on a measly 3.5 earthquake when we're having 4.0s or more in Oklahoma and no one even recognizes that we have earthquakes? Well, it seems that they are increasing in nature. Wow. Just looking at this. That is crazy. It looks like the most activity is outside of Enid, and there's some activity in Stillwater, going from a 3.3 to a 4.0. Let's see. In the last 24 hours, I'm just going to count right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just in the last day, from 1 kilometer to 5 kilometers deep. I don't know what that means. And the day before that, there was 4 earthquakes. 3 days ago, it was 4. Seem to be increasing in force and looking at the magnitude of them. Stillwater is having a lot of earthquakes. I wonder what that means. Now, the ones that are in Stillwater, we can feel where we're at. Wow. Let's see if there's any others that are popping up recently. This is not normal. It's just not normal. Excuse me. Waiting for the... Let's see. Let me check my chat room. I don't think my podcast is showing on the lead. It's okay. Wow, I'm just... Enid is getting a lot of earthquakes. They've had 4.2, 4.8 in Hayesville, Kansas, which is close to the Oklahoma border. We've had 9 earthquakes today, 176 in the past month. That's just not normal, people. That's just not normal. And neither is thimerosal vaccine, so let's get back on target here, what I was talking about. Going to play some podcasts for educational purposes because we need to hear these. We certainly need to hear these. Or we're going to hear this. This is the sound we're going to hear. I know it's a little strange to play this, but he hands you the tissue. Dab your eyes. I really need to go soon, so let's cut that. Okay, we're going to talk about the Geyers. It's a father-son team. One's a doctor, one's a biochemist. And in the beginning, at least the first 20 seconds, they are attempting to get the thimerosal out of the locked safe that it is within. The safe that contains the thimerosal. Thimerosal is a poison. It's a toxin. You cannot even put it in your public dump, but yet they'll put it in a vaccine. I know it sounds crazy, but... And we're not talking that the other vaccine fillers have an effect on the thimerosal. They do not. So there's nothing to counteract the thimerosal within the vaccine to make it safe, even if they quote-unquote filter it out, which is ridiculous. Let's go ahead and listen to this thing that the Geyers has set up to get their team to thimerosal out. This is in their lab, by the way, of the hexatoxin secret until they start toxin. Should be getting the thimerosal out now. All right. I'm going to mute myself.
Show them the thimerosal bomb, which we keep in a metal container because we're a little afraid of it, and it's a very fine powder.
This is thimerosal, which is labeled very toxic. It has cumulative effects, can cause damage to the kidneys, to the respiratory system, skin, to the nervous system. Specifically warns on here that it can cause reproductive and developmental toxicity, meaning that it can cause things like autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders. This is immensely toxic stuff.
And it's in vaccine.
And this is what's in the vaccine.
It's important to realize we're talking about a whole range of products. Vaccines are a big one because, of course, you're directly injecting it. For example, this is tetanus vaccine. This one expires. It's a lot dated now in 2007. And here's the thimerosal. 1 to 10,000 is a preservative. Perhaps the biggest one in the U.S., at least, that's for exposure to mercury is the influenza vaccine. Influenza vaccine is now recommended for all pregnant women, all infants, all children on a yearly basis. You're supposed
you
to
have last year's influenza? Understand that thimerosal is not added at the end. It's not like, well, that factory next year can make thimerosal free. Thimerosal, you either have to have a thimerosal free factory or you have to not have one. They add thimerosal at each step because the factory is not clean and not sterile. So you either have to have an expensive sterile factory where you don't need thimerosal or you have to have one that produces thimerosal. It's going to need thimerosal or something the whole time. It needs to be stopped.
This is the influenza vaccine from Adventist Pasteur, their flu zone. Thimerosal, 25 micrograms of mercury per dose.
But I'd like to point out that a lot of people didn't know, and I'm one of them. I've given 2,000 Rogam shots. I've been in vaccines for 35 years. I didn't know that Rogam had thimerosal in it. So I think a lot of the doctors were unaware. They were unaware that even the word thimerosal meant mercury.
So that was the Geyers talking about thimerosal, which is vaccine preservative slash filler. Let me go check, see if I can hear myself, make sure I'm not being, that it's not my mic or if it's not the site. Let's see. The light shift. I really just need to sleep. I can't find it in my day to do a show. I wish I did. Wonder if Calpote's around. He's treating everybody else. Oh, God. The crazy... Well, whatever. I'm trying to see if it's... Oh, yeah, it is on there. Let's see if we can hear me. Can we say Black America? Are you kidding me? Oh, some of the topics I see. Well, I guess it's a valid discussion. Let's see if this chat is showing. Gosh, I'm suddenly feeling dizzy again. Absolutely hate this. Interesting. Boy. And I appreciate everybody listening, if you're listening. If you can hear me, please let me know. I think I can hear myself. Okay. I'm okay. Let's go back to my board. So we're talking about vaccination and what that means for you and I and your child. I believe everyone's entitled, and I do say the word entitled, to have a safe vaccination. Yes, I do. I definitely do. And we talked about thimerosal from the Geyer standpoint, from how it created the age of autism. And it truly has. It's caused a lot of problems. You know, I can't wait. I cannot wait to the congressional hearings for the CDC whistleblower. But just because we tweet, just because we do this or that, does not mean that we cause the congressional hearings. There's a lot of people posturing for power within what some people call the anti-vaccine movement. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am in some people. Maybe you shouldn't expect anything from them. I mean, they're just a parent like I am. But then they're so emotionally vetted in vaccine injury, or they think their child's vaccine injury is worse than your child's vaccine injury. I mean, be glad that my child was not as injured as badly as yours. And it's like it's some battle victory that they have. My child was hurt more. My child matters more. I'm a man. You know, please, get off the wood. Someone else needs it and you're getting splinters anyway. You know, I just believe in working legally to make certain we do not lose our medical freedoms. I do believe it's a civil rights movement when it comes to medical freedoms. Truly do. I mean, people can talk about Hillary till they're blue in the face. But you know what? You're not going to do anything. You're not going to sway her one way or the other unless you're in the state of New York because you might vote for her. You know, she has to get on the primary somehow. I don't know. And I just think of all about how useless their words are without any action. Are you just going to stay on the sidelines and do nothing? Is it possible that they are changing our DNA, rather our RNA, with this vaccine? It's not really out of the realm of being reasonable. It is true that there are human diploid cells in some, not all, of the vaccines. What is a human diploid cell? Well, I'm so glad you asked. A human diploid cell is often listed as fetal cell line 5 or fetal cell line 3. Usually prime numbers. I don't know why prime, but they choose prime numbers. And these human diploid cells or fetal cell lines are harvested from, you guessed it, aborted fetal tissue. And then they have human DNA in some of the vaccines, not all, and that is separate from the human diploid cells, which also contain human DNA. And if you really get into this, you know, sometimes I even wonder, I mean, I really get out there when I think this, that maybe they're taking orders from another entity. Could that be possible? Is that too crazy? I ask you. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? I don't know. Let me take a look at the chat room, having to reload it to see if there's anybody in there. See if they can hear me well. I hope you can. It looks like BTR has changed some of the things on the board, and I'm hoping the sound is much better. Truly hoping. Dun, dun, dun. Try not to yawn in your ear. I apologize if I do so. I think I'm going to take a nap for 2 hours. Have to get up early. Well, the chat room doesn't seem to want to. I'm just going to have to close it down, I guess. I can't see it. Transphobic radical feminists are marking harassing a trans woman who was raped in prison. You know, rape, no matter your identity, is a horrible thing. Looks like Vince in the Bay is out and about. That would be fun to have him on a show. I should ask him. Wow. Girls that escaped the Boko Haram. And they're going to school. They're educating themselves. My goodness. A murder suspect escapes from custody in West Virginia. Film on ABC News later. Jesus. Now, I don't know how this woman shows up on my feed. Oh, now I know. Yeah. I think people that are extreme, that are hurting their children, should be put on the carpet. And these memes that they put out there, they don't even do it correctly. This one says that vaccines contain DNA from aborted human fetuses. Now, I just told you about the human diploid cells, right? If they wanted to, they could do that correctly, saying human diploid cells are in the vaccines harvested from aborted fetal tissue. That is a much better read. This one makes us sound like an idiot. Do you see what I have to work with? Not only a child molester, but one of the anti-vaccine mothers, she's got some problems. I probably shouldn't have said that. So she's entitled to her day in court, and I'm sure she'll get it. So, I'm a OU fan. Boomer Sooner. But I want to go back in time. Let's go back to that day, November 29, 2012, where the Oversight Committee had a federal hearing called the Federal Reaction to the Rise in Autism. You can find it on C-SPAN Library if you want to hear the entirety of our trial or hearing. Pardon me. This is part one of some highlights from it. I want you to listen to it and listen to Dr. Colleen Bowle perjure herself over and over, and we have proof of that.
We're
all right,
hearing on the
here we
cost
go.
Of treating autism, looking at the government's response to the increasing incidence of the disease. Committee is chaired by Congressman Daryl Issa, ranking member Congressman Elijah Cummings. It's just started.
The Committee on Oversight and Government Reform will come to order. This hearing on 1 in 88 children, a look into the federal response to rising rates, will come to order. Americans have a right to know that the money Washington takes from them is well spent. We, in fact, have an epidemic. There is not enough money being placed on the various possible causes of autism. There is not enough study. Our government does not collect statistics as well as perhaps someday soon we will, so that in fact we can find out what the true number is. What I will promise you here today is that we will stay involved in this issue. We will stay involved through staff and through, if appropriate, additional hearings.
So, Mr. Burton, I want to thank you for your vigilance, and I want you to know that although you may be leaving the Congress, as the chairman has said, we will continue to fight, and I know you will too. I want you to be successful in what you're doing. Life is short.
Thimerosal contains mercury. Women who are pregnant, they say don't eat fish that has mercury in it, and they caution them that there's certain kinds of fish you don't eat. You don't drink water that has any mercury in it. There's all kinds of reasons not to be exposed to mercury, and yet we continue to put it in vaccinations. There's a possibility. And my question has always been, and I'm convinced that the mercury in vaccinations is a contributing factor to neurological diseases such as autism and Alzheimer's. I'm convinced of it after all those years we had hearings. If there's any doubt that the mercury in vaccinations can cause a neurological problem, then get it out. You shouldn't put mercury in any form in the human body, especially in children in vaccinations.
A time when a provision was snuck into a bill on a Homeland Security that essentially shielded from lawsuits the manufacturers of Thimerosal. And I would guess, and this is just my theory, that we're not only talking about drug manufacturers, we might be talking about coal companies too. You know, we have to be aware. There are reasons why this Congress and this government has not effectively addressed this issue. And when you had Lilly and others, Eli Lilly and others, contributed millions of dollars to try to affect the outcome of elections, you know, I will tell you, well, I salute this chair for taking us on, because at the bottom of this, you have special interest groups who would resist any deeper research on it because it's going to affect their bottom line. Meanwhile, you have children all over the country turning up with autism.
Do you both solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
2 decades ago, ASD was thought rare. Today, with CDC's latest prevalence estimates, it is a national health priority. We do not know the causes of ASD, but recent findings highlight the need to focus on both environment and genetics.
While there's no simple explanation for the increase, we know that it is due, at least in part, to improved diagnosis and increased recognition.
In other words, was there autism before there were vaccines?
I would turn to my colleague, physician colleague, but I would say definitely.
I know that Dr. Connor's view, and I think others, is that this probably existed before, just no one had noticed the pattern.
Is it fair to say that we can rule nothing out in absolute terms from being a contributor?
Study, there is certainly some evidence to suggest that paternal age particularly does have some correlation with the rate of autism.
There seems to be a frustration. I see everybody's, I wish you could see them behind you. They're shaking their heads. There's frustration.
I think the IACC has done a very good job in its relatively few years of existence, in fact, in coordinating both work among federal agencies, but also coordinating the federal agencies and the advocacy organizations, individuals, and others to really try to come up with really community viewpoints about what should the priorities be within research, what should the priorities be in terms of service delivery, invention, etc.
Note that the mercury has caused disintegration of tubulin microtubule structure.
Now, we've gone from 1 in 10,000 children known to be autistic to 1 in 88. It is worse than an epidemic. It is an absolute disaster. It mystifies me. How can anybody at the CDC and the FDA watch something like that and say that the mercury does not have an impact on neurological problems? Now, granted, it may be from other things besides vaccinations, but vaccinations that contain mercury should not, under any circumstances, be injected into any human being, especially children who have a very fragile immune system. And children get as many as 28 or 30 shots before they go to the first grade. My grandson got 9 shots in one day, and it turned him into a horrible situation
that we bound, banging his head against the wall, couldn't go to the bathroom, all kinds of things. And these people will tell you all about that.
So since 2001, thimerosal has been removed from all vaccines given to children, with the exception of the multiple.
Please.
I'm going to say with the exception of the multivial flu vaccine.
Find the best fit in society in terms of employment, et cetera.
Thank you, Doctor. I have one more question, mm-hmm. and my time is running out. In other words, there's nothing that we're doing to them. It looks like we don't have any mandated services for them, and that it falls back. The Affordable Health Care Act may help to provide some medical services, but this is tragic if we have not found not a bridge but a way to accommodate an adult who may still become a functioning member in some way in society. But this
help
is
parents identify children as early as possible. Those are free. They're on our website. And the most important thing that parents...
They know it. The mother knows it. The father knows it. It's what
to
is
do
available.
About. We have information about what to do with it, how to have a conversation with your physician. So really guiding parents with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In other words, it's up to the family to try to figure it out.
I thank the gentlelady, and thank God that there are families who care so much, and that is always a big part of it.
One of the things I wanted to ask, Dr. Boyle, in your testimony is I didn't hear a prevalence about diet.
Excuse me. I
didn't hear a pertinent aspect of focusing on diet. There's something wrong here. We should be focusing on the family. They're telling you what's going on, and they're frustrated is because the research is cylindrical. They're not sharing. They're not coordinating at all. And they're telling you what's going on and what's wrong, and we should be focusing on the family and utilizing that as a coordinator. And we need to have better coordination, much better than what I'm seeing here currently. So thank you.
And I just want to say in conclusion that all these families who are here, you have members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who are dedicated to trying to find out what's going on here and to try to do it in the interest of your family and future generations as well. So thank you for your presence here.
I can tell you that I don't know of another issue that has affected more of my constituents that have demonstrated a greater degree of frustration than this particular issue. Thinking about at the CDC, we deal with a broad variety of health crises at certain points in time. Has anything accelerated in your experience to this degree in a six-year period?
Well, again, relative to my area of expertise.
How about in general? You are in the CDC. What do you know about in general?
Right. Well, again, thinking specifically about what's going on with autism, you know, we have been looking at trends over time, and as you point out, there has been an increase. We do know that some of that increase is due to how children are identified and diagnosed in the community. So there have been changes over time that contribute in part. Our system monitors the number of children. We don't have all the information about what's happening in the context that influences how children are identified.
I guess what I'm saying is, and these are your words, not mine, as we've seen this remarkable acceleration just in the diagnoses, and in your words it was, this is a public health concern. Would you explain to me why this is not a public health crisis? Why this isn't an issue that is on the front burner of the CDC every day?
This is a very important issue to the CDC, and we are using the strengths of CDC to approach this issue.
What is being done to have a genuine, comprehensive plan in which we are looking for accountability year to year on the progress that's being made and in terms of what we're doing to better understand this issue?
It's a very important question, Congressman. I think part of it, again, goes back to the IACC having been created and asking for it to every year come up with an updated plan. And I can tell you, I haven't checked my emails in the last couple of hours, obviously, but based upon simply the flurry of activity over the last few days alone, there really is work amongst
flurry
multiple...
Flurry because of our hearing or flurry just...
No, because it's that time of year. We're aware that the year is coming to a close. and really trying to put together this year's plan in a very thoughtful way, looking at all of the research.
Who's in charge of this? Who wakes up in the morning and says, this is my priority, I am going to drive this train and make sure something happens today? Who's in charge of it?
I'd say there are a number of people that are doing it.
I hate to say it, there's so many different aspects of there, but as an outside observer, I see it as being sort of willy-nilly, and you know, this is the next thing that gets funded today and somebody tomorrow, as opposed to a real focus on a critical path.
Dr. Boyle, you mentioned in the answer to Mr. Burton's question that since 2000, thimerosal was removed from all of the vaccines except the multivial for vaccines on that basis. Can you answer me why, just as a matter of precaution, to eliminate that whole issue, it isn't removed from them as well?
Actually, I said since 2001, mm-hmm. I'm not a vaccine expert, but my understanding, and I will clarify for the record about this, is that the multi-use vials are used, are needed. And
so my colleague was talking about, you know, diet and other family incidents like that. Is there part of this monitoring that entails going into an area with a very high incidence of autism diagnosis and actually interviewing those families to find out what might be distinctive about their experience or their history?
Now, I do represent an area that has impoverished rural areas, and I'm sure a lot of the members feel the same way because we don't all represent just one group of people, but a lot of people. So how are people in the impoverished areas? How do they get accesses? How do we get to them? How do we give them the opportunity to find out what it is that they need to know also? Is there a method that... I keep hearing people that can go online. Well, you know, the area that I represent,
right.
There's not a lot of people that can go online to do this. So,
and the IACC is really trying, and I know it has its challenges, but it's really trying to bring together all of those voices in the federal government in a coordinated way so that we can really help everyone, you know, really be the group that reaches out to all.
Dr. Boyle, anything on the horizon at all, anything you see coming that could be a cure?
Again, we've been focusing on understanding the preventable causes versus the cure part.
Okay. Well, I want to take this opportunity. Mr. Burton and I share an awful lot of passion for a lot of different things, but we're both grandparents. I've often said if we could ever exchange and take the place of whatever it is that our children or our grandchildren, we would gladly do so. So I thank you. He's departed again, but... What a great effort, and I think Mr. Meehan hit the nail on the head. We will continue to pursue this as long as we can. You deserve an answer, and we'll keep working towards that means.
And I read not very long ago an article that it said until the wonderful people like us introduced vaccinations to Africa, the African children basically were autism-free. They never heard of autism, never had a case of Down. Are you familiar with that? Have you ever heard that before? I wonder if the CDC has conducted or facilitated a study comparing vaccinated children with unvaccinated children yet. Have you done that?
We have actually done a number of studies looking at the relationship between thimerosal vaccines and autism and other developmental disabilities. And
so clearly, definitely, unequivocally, you have studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
We have not studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Never mind. Stop there. That was the meaning of my question. You wasted 2 minutes of my time. Vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
We have not studied vaccinated versus unvaccinated.
Never mind. Stop there. That was the meaning of my question. You wasted 2 minutes of my time. What steps has the CDC undertaken to ensure the integrity of the research that was performed by Dr. Thorson, who, as you know, has been indicted for misconduct and misallocation of resources?
So Dr. Thorson, who was a co-investigator on a couple of studies that came out on autism, was really just one investigator. And that body of evidence related to vaccines and autism...
All right. Have you gone back to validate the variety of studies he participated in? I mean, you know this guy is... a humongous scumbag, one of the most wanted men on earth, and you relied upon him for data to determine whether thimerosal had a negative effect. I've seen a chart that ranks the longevity of the 30 nations with the best mortality rates in the world, starting with Iceland, Sweden, Singapore, and on down. We didn't even make the top 30. We're the 34th. And ironically, we require more vaccinations than any other country that's healthier, has a less mortality rate than us. Do you see any correlation whatsoever, either one of you, to the worst, the 34th worst mortality rate and the most vaccinations to the ones with the least required vaccinations and the lowest mortality rate?
The one thing we do know about vaccinations is that they are among the major public health reasons why generations today live much longer than in previous generations. They are perhaps the most successful public health movement in the world.
Nobody's talking about or against vaccinations.
Well, I was just trying
to
answer. We're
talking about thimerosal in vaccinations.
I was
And multiple, you know, bomb blast of vaccinations in short period of time thank you, Mr. Chairman. My time's up.
I'm sorry, a gentleman's time's expired. Did you want to answer?
No, I think I had an opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, very good.
The bottom line is you asked two questions rather than perhaps answer it. And again, you've got to go where the science is, and I deeply respect that. But it is now a couple of years later, and I would appreciate it if the jury is still out, whether or not it's just better surveillance, especially in light of what Autism Speaks has discovered in South Korea. The 1 in 38 study that they funded makes it very clear that when you go further into a study, into the weeds in terms of asking the right questions, more rather than less seems to be the case. And I'm wondering if you could comment on that South Korean study. We never saw a prevalent spike like we've seen on autism in Africa as we have seen in the last 15 or so years.
Now, the numbers that he pointed out earlier, that it used to be 1 in 10,000 kids got autism, it's now 1 in 88. And I'd like to ask Dr. Boyle why. And I don't want to hear that we have better detection. We have better detection. But detection would not account for a jump from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 88. That is a huge, huge, huge jump. What other factors could be part of making that happen besides better detection? Take better detection off the table. I agree we have better detection, but it doesn't account for those numbers.
So just to put it in context, better detection is accounting for some of it. Like
right, I know some, but what other factors? And, I don't want to hear what other factors.
Our surveillance program counts cases of autism and establishes the prevalence. It doesn't tell us all the answers to the questions as to why. We've tried to look at what's changed in the environment of things that we know are risk factors for autism, things like preterm birth and birth weight and
Are you looking at vaccinations? Is that part of your studies?
So let me just finish this one. So we
I have a question. Are you looking at vaccinations? Is that part of you? Pardon me?
So there is a large literature, as I mentioned.
Are you having a study on vaccinations and the fact that they're cramming them down and having kids have 9 at one time? Is that a call? Do you have any studies on vaccinations?
There have been a number of studies done by CDC on vaccinations.
Could you send them to the ranking member and the chairman here? I must have had 50 different parents write me or come to me and say I had a healthy child, yet then they had 10, 9, 6 vaccinations at one time, and that child changed overnight and was knocking their head on the wall, and it was a changed child. In fact, I had a family in my office today where the mother broke down crying, saying my child was wonderful, bright, precocious, talking. She took those vaccinations, and the child became very incredibly sick and has never recovered. But why do you have to have cram 9, 6 at one time when the verbal evidence seems so strong from so many people that they had a healthy child until they got vaccinated?
And that's why I don't know that we're spending enough time and energy looking at this, where our kids are getting twice the shots of everybody else. And I just have, you know, my sons, it seems like they're older now in their late 20s, but they might have had 7 or 8, and I'm just going by people that I represent in our area that feel strongly that this has to be looked at in a very, very aggressive way, that if we're over-vaccinating our children. And I'll doctor either one of you.
42,000 lives were saved, 20 million cases of disease were prevented, and 13.6 billion in direct medical costs were saved.
When you put all these drugs or vaccines into children, the impact that these various vaccines might be having, combinations, that's the number I got.
I don't have a specific number. I'd be happy to provide additional information for the record on.
But I think it's 2.3 million, and they say that it cost the country, I didn't realize it was this, to this magnitude, $137 billion a year in annual cost, care of autism. Do you agree with that number? Either of you?
Again, I would not have the data to agree or disagree. I know that it's a high number.
Okay. Well, I just want to let you know we've got to spend more time and resources and fix this problem because it's obviously it's out of control.
There's something wrong. It's and, you know, the gentleman, I thought, asked some very good questions. As a matter of fact, the whole panel, when you've got this combination of shots, and you go from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 88, it seems to me somebody would say, wait a minute, let's put the brakes on this. Just look at, you know, whether the multiple shot situation is causing this. And I wish you could see the people behind you. They're grown men that have been crying behind you and women crying. And it's I just hope that we can... You hear the frustration coming from here, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm just saying, wait a minute, it just seems like somebody would say, is there something, maybe there's an issue here, and if we're going to err, let's err on the side of keeping children safe, even if we had to, you know, do a pause and give one shot a day. Thank you very much. I thank the gentleman for yielding.
If I may take a liberty of the chair for a moment, it is our intention to include in future hearings, and the gentleman from Indiana is here, a narrow but specific request, and I put both of you, even though you may not be the witnesses, of the question of drug interactions where the FDA approves individual drugs and individual vaccines, but by definition does not necessarily thoroughly study interactions of any sort that can happen with 1, 5, 9, 20 different ones. That's a different hearing.
We've heard a lot about the 1 in 88 number. I come from a state where it's 1 in 47. I've heard a lot about this from my constituents, and I've always been an advocate for responsible funding and research for NIH to try to figure out what's going on with this issue. Can any of you tell me about any new therapy approaches that are emerging for effectiveness in treating autism?
There's certainly some therapies in terms of behavioral interventions and other kinds of things that are emerging, that are being developed. In terms of something like a medical therapy, I think we're much farther away from those kinds of interventions, though one would hope that eventually we would have those to offer as well.
Why did the FDA and HHS take thimerosal out of all the children's vaccines except just the one or two or three? I mean, I'd just like to know why they took the thimerosal out if there was no problem and leave it in just a couple.
I think neither of us are vaccine experts, and we'd be happy to look into that and provide additional information.
Well, I'd like to have an answer because I think most people would really like to know.
One of the witnesses told me that the fugitive doctor had been involved in a couple studies with CDC, and I have information here that he was involved in 21 of the 24 studies, and I would like to submit that to the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you.
Again, I'd like to... Do you all solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I have carefully viewed and all answered in the affirmative. Please take your seats.
I'm here because of my grandson, Christian, who's now 11 years old, and my daughter, Katie, is sitting back here, and my wife, Suzanne. And he was a boy that was 2 years old, and we thought he was very precocious. He seemed to be brighter than average. He walked early. He had enormous vocabulary, and then he lost everything. And I'll tell you, without any secret, that my daughter, you know, firmly believes that
vaccines were the relationship that triggered him into this pit. So we lost a little boy that we knew. It wasn't like he was a disabled person who got more disabled. He was a boy, and we lost him. And I sat at meetings, similar to the meeting you're having here, where I would ask questions about autism. I went to universities. I went to medical schools. And I got the worst answers imaginable. Actually, I heard some of the same answers here just a few minutes ago in the panel. They're on a Twitter thing or something.
The Autism Society is about helping people today and preparing them for tomorrow. And we believe that government services, if funded by government dollars, should have focus on advancing an individual's quality of life in measurable and meaningful ways. We need to reexamine how government services can be provided, not on a limited definition of services, but rather based on an individual's needs. The need for adult services is extensive. When you talk about a fiscal cliff, the greatest cliff that occurs in our community is that when a person turns 21 and absolutely no services are available for that person when they need.
A piece of information just came to my attention. The Senate just passed the TRICARE Amendment, restoring all military personnel ABA therapy, whether retired or in service. It's taken 5 years to do that. 5 years.
Yeah. Before 1930, the rate of autism in the world and in America was effectively zero. Today, nearly 70 years after Connor's paper reported autism rates are 1 in 88, in New Jersey, 1 in 29 boys born in 2000 were diagnosed as autistic. What's going on? Why are so many American children sick? I think we have to face reality. We need to be clear. Autism is a public health crisis of historic proportions, worse than poliomyelitis. It's devastating a generation of children and their families. We need to face that reality. Autism is a national emergency. The old surveys, they looked for everybody, and they couldn't find people. They didn't miss 99% of the children with autism. It's not hard to find a child with autism. It's obvious when they're autistic. The notion that we're just doing better diagnosing, even in the CDC studies, they're using the same methodology. So when you see those numbers rising, that's not because the methods are changing, it's because there are more cases. Many of us believe CDC has actively covered up evidence surrounding autism's environmental causes. NIH, meanwhile, has received the lion's share of funding, money they've wasted on status quo research and gene studies. It's absurd to focus on genetic research in this crisis. There's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. We need accountable new leadership on autism at NIH and CDC. We need an advisory committee that believes in combating autism, not newly stocked with the one newly stocked with appointees who actually oppose that mission. We need a Combating Autism Act that truly combats autism. We need to stop investing in the autism gene hunt and identify what has changed in the environment that it could possibly have injured so many children. The scope and the magnitude of these changes, it's complicated, yes, but it can't be that complicated. There have to be a very small list of things that could have changed.
It is estimated that within the next 2 years, one of every 100 college applicants will have an ASD diagnosis, and this is just the beginning of the wave that has been characterized as epidemic. As a provider and a father, I strongly feel we need to act now before the task before us becomes insurmountable.
And I hope to be able to stress the negative consequences on us all when so many are enduring financial, logistical, and emotional stresses of a magnitude that might surprise you. I ask this administration, as well as our community, to lead and to help these constituents in such a way that will not just be acceptable to the polls or pander to any ill-conceived notion that an injustice was done or that there's something in the water. I cannot stress enough my disappointment that the conversation on vaccines is still evident.
The attention paid to the needs of us here today is laughably small. Now, I'm not here to speak for all autistic people, that's impossible, but I am here to speak for the right of every autistic person to get the support they need to speak for themselves and not to be written off as victims or burdens. Now, some have tried to justify the lack of attention paid to services and adult issues through talk of an epidemic. I don't happen to subscribe to that theory.
I'm retiring. This is my last year in office here. I've been here 30 years, but I'm my last year. But I want you to know, any of you that have a need, any of your organizations, you get a hold of me, and I'll do everything I can to help you because this is something I feel very strongly about. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is we have what's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. It has $2.4 billion in it. And it's not being disseminated to people who have damaged children.
How these numbers are increasing? We are marching into a very, very serious situation. And I know, Mr. Neiman, you said don't call it an epidemic or whatever you said. But this is serious stuff that we deal with the now. Because the people in this room, I take it, are going to go home and they're going to have to wrestle with this with love and affection 24/7. But we also need some help right now. Right now.
Exactly. And if I may.
And what help is that? I guess that's what I'm trying to get to.
It's a myriad of things. I mean, for parents of more challenged children, we're talking about ABA therapy in the home. We're talking about a variety of educational strategies. We're talking about an appropriate education and perhaps, you know, just some aftercare if the child is significantly, you know, challenged enough. For someone that isn't as challenged, we need much more enforcement of IDEA in the schools. The schools are still able to circumvent that. I know it's budgetary, but it's still a problem that needs to be fixed. Adults themselves, they need appropriate housing. Adults need therapeutic options. When you grow up living in the behavioral minority and you're living in a world that confuses you a lot, you need to talk to somebody about that. But most of all, especially for adults, those employment programs, putting them into being productive use. This is not a population of people that are short on brain cells. It's social deficits, it's executive functioning issues, it's hidden curriculum issues. They can be put to work.
In the CDC numbers, Asperger's syndrome is a very small proportion of the total categorized cases, less than 10%. So the notion that we've had diagnostic expansion, you know, that dog don't hunt as an explanation. Contrary to what CDC representative said, there have been no studies of the total health outcomes of an unvaccinated population as compared to a vaccinated population. The studies that have been done cover only one preservative and one product. We haven't looked at combinations. We haven't looked at the totality. And those studies are often done poorly.
We've got this interagency autism coordinating committee that the government has, but it seems to be missing the mark if we can be so far off on this. So give me your impression of what we should be doing right.
What we need is a national strategic plan.
One of the things with aging parents, and particularly we now have a large group of individuals, 80, 90s, who are the primary caretaker for an adult child 60 or 70, the portability of Medicaid is a major issue because sometimes when that person needs a caretaker, if that's the condition, the caretaker lives in another state, the individual moves to the state and has to get put on a waiting list. It could be 5-6 years, which just makes absolutely no sense to us.
But as they age out, we're facing a tsunami of unmet needs for services, desperate families, aging parents, and you know the nightmare of every parent. If you know, late at night at the bar when you're talking about these things at get-togethers, is what happens when my child when I die? What's going to happen to my child when I die? Because you know the vast majority of these children can't advocate for themselves, or when they become adults, they're going to be disabled. They're going to be dependent. They can be abused. They can be taken advantage of and not cared for, and with often tragic outcomes. And we haven't begun to see the wave of difficulties that we're going to face. If we're going to have rational policy, we need to face up to that, and it's going to be a massive problem.
And that's an indication that wherever there is life, I've been told that there is hope. You know, I was reminded of a poet who suggested that some people see things that are and ask why. But I dream of things that have never been and ask why not. And it seems to me that you're saying, why can't we have the services that we need? Why can't we have the kind of diagnosis that are accurate and give us the best chance and the best possibility? Why can't we even find, although we know it's difficult, We know that resources are scarce, that money is short. But we also know that priorities determine how we use whatever resources that they are. And so you're asking, really, all of those questions. I am one who believes that this fellow Sam Cooke was probably pretty accurate when he wrote the words about change coming. When he said that I was born by the river in a little tent. And just like that river, I've been running ever since. It may be a long time coming, but I know some change is going to come.
As promised, this was a long and well worthwhile hearing. We learned a great many things that both we and the public were not aware of. We didn't have an opportunity to hear from witnesses who had genetic links that they could see in their own families. We certainly did not hear from the witnesses who are women who recognize in their own lives that the under-evaluation because of perhaps differences in behavior between men and women lead there to be a discrepancy in recognition and a discrepancy in perceived challenge to women versus men. We certainly learned that the state of Utah has found a way to identify differently or better or more than other states. We certainly learned that, in fact, a passive discovery system is not going to get us or any other country in the world to an accurate number or to seek out people we could help and help early. This and more will be things that this committee will continue working on as part of the legacy of my predecessor, Mr. Dan Burton, for many years. There is nothing we heard today that is off limits for us to continue to explore. This committee stands ready to take your additional comments and questions as promised. There's a C-SPAN audience. We may perhaps get additional letters. We will try to include those in the record whenever possible. So lastly, I don't believe we covered every interest group either with our witnesses or here today. So because there are so many organizations involved that want to be heard, I would only ask all of you, when you work with other organizations or groups of individuals, that you explain to them that this committee will have a permanent staffing, at least as long as I'm chair, to try to continue to consolidate information and to get government to do its job more effectively, more efficiently, and if at all possible, find additional funds to continue dealing with all aspects of this disease. And with that, this committee stands adjourned.
And that was the hearing from November 29th, 2012. You can find it on C-SPAN. Under their C-SPAN library, you would search A Federal Reaction to the Rise in Autism. We had the chance of another hearing, but the infighting and the anti-vaccine movement stymied that. Good job. Really good freaking job. Just everybody's posturing. For a book, for a documentary, for this, for that. It just makes you want to scream. It really does. All I want is to affect change. If people truly leave their egos locked up in a trunk in a deep, dark hole, maybe we could get something done. I'm just saying. So let me check the chat room. See who is there. Well, Supernatural Radio, glad you could make it. But there's so much to when it comes to vaccines, pro and anti. Yeah, we cannot deny that vaccines have their role in our history, our medical history. But the amount of vaccines that are now out there, now I hear it's close to 80 doses of vaccines before a child goes to kindergarten. That is just way too many. Way too many doses. It doesn't take a brain scientist to figure that out or someone that specializes in epidemiology. I mean, it doesn't take a brain scientist. I just want to scream sometimes. When I was younger, okay, it was a few years ago when I was younger,
I had choices between 8 and 10 vaccines, and I think that included the tetanus shot. I didn't get any of those, not a single one. No polio, no measles, nothing like that, none of those vaccines. And I did not have any problems until I had the flu vaccine, because I wanted to keep my youngest daughter safe, right? But, oh, I just shake my head. I had my first surgery 3 months after that flu vaccine. Had a total of 3 surgeries within 18 months of that flu shot. And I just looked back and was so overwhelmed that it was hard to really do the research. And when you have a young one, it's hard to find time for yourself, let alone research such as that. So, going to end it now. I thank you for listening. Let me check the chat again. I think they just may have me on mute. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll have a guest. Very exciting day tomorrow. I can't wait to tell you. End the episode.